Well, as Pastor mentioned, we have a wonderful privilege this morning to hear from some very, very dear friends of ours, and I'm not going to cut too much into their space, but we've known Tony and Lupe Campos for quite some time, and Tony, is Lupe going to come up with you? Is she? Okay, why don't you go ahead and come on up, come on up, and as I've mentioned, we've got some history with Tony and Lupe, and most of it's pretty good. No, it's really good. We are so thankful for them. They've spoken into my life and Stacy's life specifically. I know they've been a blessing to my parents and my family. And up until recently, we've known them, but we've never known they keep their family hidden, evidently. I recently met Paul, his wife, his son, and they're all right in here. And so we're just very grateful for the Campos family. And this morning, we have an opportunity to hear from them about what they're doing in Mexico. And without any further of my words, I want to hand things over to you. But before that, I just want to let you know that we love you and we so appreciate you and your impact in our life. And part of the reason we want them here today is that we want you to know why we love Tony and Lupe so much. And so as they share their hearts with you this morning, just open your hearts and ears to hear what God has put on their heart today and be blessed by them. So Tony, Lupe, we love you and we're grateful that you're here. Why don't you give them a hand of welcome this morning?
Thank you. Well, it's a pleasure to be here. Every time I go out, you know, I know that God is going to do great things. I never leave home without that prayer. Then God is going to do great things. So, yeah, my wife, Lupe, and I, you know, we started a ministry 13 years ago down in by Guatemala, pretty close to Guatemala. We are about an hour and a half from Guatemala. And, you know, the Lord has been doing great things over there. And Pastor Ed asked us to come and share a little bit of what we're doing over there. So we're going to show you a slides presentation for you guys. And I want you guys to to pray for us. We need a lot of prayers because, like they were saying, you know, it's a dangerous place over there. Sometimes, you know, we are driving and then we have a big log across the road, and they don't let us go through until we pay them money to let us go through. And, you know, but, you know, God is good. And if he send us over there, he's going to bring us back too. So right now we are in the process of transfer the churches that we ministry here in the Columbia Gorge. We started two churches in the Columbia Gorge, Spanish churches, and we right now we are about to pass them out to another capo, and spend more time down in Mexico because there's a lot of needs over there, and the Lord is calling me over there. So, and I will, you know, get there a little bit more deeper than why we are over there. And but we want to show you those pictures, if you want to start that for us.
I'm supposed to be doing this.
That's our vision.
Well.
Go ahead.
I don't know how we're directing this. He's directing the thing, but you can continue. It's 33 slides, so I don't want to go to, like, each slide because that will take a long time. But, you know, our mission is really to take the culture, the kingdom to the people. I know the people always talks about how they build, how they take money. And, yeah, money is needed, and, yeah, building is needed. But I've seen many in the area where we are. Guatemala in Chiapas. Chiapas is the area where we are. There's a lot of churches and ministries that go there. I mean, through the years, there's been a lot of churches and a lot of ministries. But what I see is the essence or the culture of the kingdom of God. And there's a lot of communities. A lot of communities is the native people. So usually they have a lot of kids. The less that I've seen that they have is 5 kids. So usually is from there up. Could be up to 17 kids, could be, you know, 15, 13. So the less that I've seen in one community is 5 kids. And usually the communities, they are the kind of the families. So it's kind of like uncles, brothers. So that's the communities they're built on. And then from there, they go to another community, but it's always family that creates the communities. So there's no marriages. There's a lot of incest because of so many kids and living in one room. So it's not like they have a house. They have a room. And there's dirt. So, you know, we'll see some of those. I don't want to go, like I said, through each slide, so I'm just kind of narrow down, and you will see through the slides. So the love of God for people, that's what we want to bring into their lives. It's not so much teaching them sometimes. It's just bringing who God is into their lives. When I first went, the first time I went down there, because it's beautiful. People says that the gorge is beautiful. Let me tell you that that area is beautiful. It's so much nature because it's a jungle. So it's so much nature. It's so much like fruit. Every fruit that you can think is apples, not apples. It's like pineapple, like mandarins, mangoes. I mean, it's so much fruit. And when I went the first time, I was in awe of the nature that is down there. So they're not poor. See, we can see because physically they don't have the means to build a house. But they're rich in what God has given them. So I was in awe. So see, like right now, every time we go, they give us food. Everywhere we go is food. They don't have means. The only thing they do is corn, and they do the tortillas, see? And every time we go, they kill a chicken. They don't really eat their chickens themselves, but they will kill it for us. And so every single, we can go to 2 or 3 communities the same day, and we will eat the same thing. So, you know, but I was so humble because they give what they have. And actually sometimes what they don't have. So to me, I was very humble. It's a privilege to go. See, that's the nature. That's where parts where we go. That's the communities we go. So the kids, they come running because we bring them a candy. So, but you know, at the same time, they can know God. But see, in every community, that community itself, that church is only kids. It's a kids' church. There's no adults. So we have the pastor, the ministers to just kids. And so we were like, God has been so much given us in how to minister to them. We don't go with an agenda. I just ask God what we can give to them. Not so much, you know, ourselves or monetarily, but what do you have for them? And they can feel that, you know. And like I said, yeah, we build things because we have helped building churches for them. We have give them money for needs and things like that. But and money is needed. No, get me wrong. Money is needed because we do need the money. This is another community in that we have the pastor that help us. And we have Andrew, one of our pastors in the Dells, that went with us and spent almost 3 months with us. And he needed that set apart. And so God gave us a house for ourselves so we can bring people in for every need they have, or they don't have to pay for hotels. And God has bring us so many things. And that, like I said, every step has been God. Every area we go is God. Right now, we're going to come back to an area that 5 years ago, we were going there, and God was moving in the youth so marvelous But then the enemy closed that door. So we had to leave that area. So we try, the Lord opened the door now to come back to that area. So we are trying to go back. We have we bought a lot that we need to build a church because we were doing it in a house. So that's why we have to leave, because the people didn't want, you know, things happen. So the Lord closed that door. So what, now we want to do a building so nobody kick us out of there. So so that area, God was moving so much in the youth. So we're going to come back to that. But my husband, when we go, we baptize people in different communities. That one of the communities that we go. By the way, we have like 8 or 9 communities that we go. We started with, I think, one community. Now we have like 9 communities that we go to. And we train the pastors. We get them to get married because they're not married. It's a lot of ministries, like I said, they go down there, but they put pastors, but they're not married. So that's what I say about trying to give them the kingdom culture, not so much a ministry, but really what the kingdom of God is. And I don't want to take from them, I just because they have a beautiful culture that we can learn from. It's not much as taking from them. It's like, you know, probably uniting their culture and kingdom culture. So that's what we do. We go to their house. We spend time. And sometimes it might seem like we're not doing anything. We just go and eat, right? But that's they embrace people coming in. They want, actually, he doesn't like to do that. Not just in down there, but even in our kids' houses, he doesn't like to sleep outside his house. So we don't spend the night in the communities, but they will love, they embrace that. They want people to spend the night, to actually spend three or four days with them. So really that's what we try to do, just kind of, you know, don't bring right away God to them. We want to embrace them in their how they are and to learn what they think and how we can come with God into their area, not so much bringing whatever we're thinking. So where is that? San Francisco. Oh, yeah, see, I was like, I don't know where is that one. So they put a picture that I don't know. I didn't go to that place. So sometimes he goes and I don't go with him because they're far out. We have places, 2 places that we go, and it's like 8-hour drive. You know, so sometimes I don't go with him. So he goes with the pastor to help us down there. So that's what we do, a lot of altar calls. And every time we do an altar call, everybody comes. So it's not like we're waiting for people to come. It's like they're actually waiting for you to call them in to have a ministry. So it's so humble to see people hungry for God. In every community we go, that's what it is. And kids, I mean, the kids, the church that you see, they go forward. It's not like you have to, like, beg them to go. So the pastor, that's the kids, he needs a lot of prayer because, you know, he has a very heavy load with trying to bring the kids into the kingdom of God. The enemy right now is coming against the youth and the kids, as you know. I don't have to tell you guys that. So that's why we're so grateful that God has brought us into that places where there's so many youth and so many kids that we can kind of minister and have God, his love, embrace them. And they know God because, you know, we come into a time where we're going to have a generation with no God. We come into that point where it's going to be as discarded from the earth, literally. God is just being put away. So we need to bring God into the culture of humanity. And that's what we're trying to do. So it's a lot of work, and like we're talking about being dangerous. A lot of people ask us about that. A lot of people are kind of hesitated to, because he always asks people to come. He always asking people to, they are welcome to come, and they always ask us, isn't it dangerous? And it's like, we walk in the shadow of God. So, you know, there's sometimes we go by literally, And then we afterwards, we know that they closed that road or something happened in that road. Or, you know, we something just happened before we went through. So all I know is that God, when he assigns you, sends you, he's going to tell you when or how. Or he's going to close doors or open doors. Or if it's your time to go, whatever it is, God is in control. So we just have to submit to that and believe that God assigns you. And when he assigns, he will bring what you need in every area. So this is one of the churches, like I said, we do give money or have people give us money and we build churches. Like right now, I think that was in the beginning, the process of that church. Now it's almost done. So there's always a lot of details, right? But that's bringing like a well. Sometimes we have to make wells. Like right now, we make one for a medical dispensary. The last time we went down there, we raised money to have that, and it's done. The well is done. So So it is done. We haven't seen it because they were finishing when we come up here. So when we go back, we'll see it. But it's a medical, which that one is the medical dispensary. The picture they just went by is a medical dispensary. And what it is one of the communities is that's kind of brand new community for us. Kind of new, 1 year old. And the pastor we alliance with, he created that that dispensary. And what it is one, actually it is in the city, kind of a little bit outside of the city where we locate. And there's a lot of poverty in that community. The kids sometimes go without eating. So he started that, and we come along and help him. So they do once a month. What they do is they bring the kids around in that little area. They bring him and they feed him. They give him Bible kids study lessons, and then they have medical for families. So families can come, and we have doctors and dentists. They come and they give the service for free. So that's what we're doing right now every month. So it is kind of expensive. For us, it's not really expensive. It's like $700 to $800 a month. But for them, it's very expensive because it's over 10,000 pesos. So that's a lot of money for them. So we can't do it more often than like once a month. And actually right now, I don't think we have really a sponsor. So they are actually having the money from whatever they raised before, or the pastor had some money that he's putting himself into that dispensary. So that's another thing that we're trying to help right now with, is to help in that community. And they started a church from the very first time they do the dispensary. People wanted a church, so they go every Sunday afternoon. The pastor go and gives church in there. So that's the kids. They go to the dispensary. So they started maybe like with 10 kids. And right now I have up to 60 kids in less than a year. That's what it is right now. So, and that's the dispensary. That's the doctor. That's the nurse that are helping. And they doing that because we have people that are nurses. And so they give their time to help. So that's the medical dispensary that they go once a month. And they do the follow-up. They give them medicine, and they will check on them and what else they need. In the medicine, we have to look for people to actually pitch in for the medicine or pharmacists or things like that. So there's a lot of work that needs to be done in that to have it once a month. It's a lot of work that a lot of people don't know that they have to do. But every month we have to have people to help either. Cassie, we have a group of guys, they have a barber shop, and they came and they cut people's hair. So for everybody that wanted a haircut, they were given it for free. So it's like, I don't know, like 6 hours, 4 hours probably. Mm-hmm. They give their time, every month. So that's why it's hard to do it more often, because we have to find all these people to volunteer and to give their time. And so that's kind of in a nutshell what we're trying to do.
Amen. God is good.
I'll sit down because we have
So that's what we do down there. I mean, I didn't want to go, but the Lord sent me, and I have to obey God. It is so hot over there than this last summer here. The temperature raised up to 115 for more than a month, with 100% humidity. So not even the AC will keep us cool. But, you know, we have to do sacrifices to take the gospel, you know. And if God is sending you, might as well obey it. Otherwise, your life will be miserable. I'm going to talk a little bit about ours. You know, I grew up without my dad. My dad was shot when I was 3 years old. And my wife, she grew up without mom and without dad. And somehow God brought us together here in Oregon. I met it when she was 15, and we got married when she was 17. We've been married for 40 years. We had 4 kids, 1 male and 3 females. And 2 grandkids, 1 growing, 1 boy. So, you know, we've been pretty blessed all of our lives. And, you know, I remember when I was growing up, I had to use my brother's shoes after they finish it up. I had to put cartons in there because they have a big holes under in the soles. And I remember back in those days, the only thing we eat was beans and corn, tortillas, you know, and some salsa there, you know. And, you know, and I see, you know, the greatness of God, how God has brought us up, you know, until now, you know, we are been blessed so much. I grew up in the streets. I went to school only 6 years. And, you know, we didn't have any money to keep studying, so I run out in the streets, and I become an alcoholic and drug addict. And I came to the United States when I was 17 years old. And God was speaking in my heart all that time. You know, God never leave us or forsake us. Not even when we're not walking with him. He's always there. We are the only, we are the ones who run away from him. But I knew God had a call in my life. But I tried to run away from him. So, you know, I come to the United States. I met my wife, and we have our first kid. And I say, this is it. I'm going to be happy now because I had my kid and I had my wife, and I'm not going to do any more drugs. But, you know, Satan had a way to brand me down. But God brand me up. And I keep running that, you know, that way for a while until my second daughter, my first daughter, born. I was a foreman in an orchard up in Pardale by the mountain. And that was in the springtime in March 1986. The people was just finishing up the pruning thing, and so I went and hooked up the tractor with the grass cutter. I forgot to hook up the PTO, you know, the dry line. And And I was high on drugs, and it was raining. So I forgot to do that, and I stepped out of the tractor, and my jacket got stuck in the gear chair. And the tractor started running and grabbed this leg, and I couldn't get out. So, you know, the tractor was, it was probably around 8,000 pounds over my body. Because the tractor plus one of those hydraulic grass cutters, you know, those big ones, those broach beaters. And anyway, the first thing, you know, the tractor was running and the tire, the big tire was all over my body. And, you know, blood was coming out of my eyes. So much pressure. And then I closed my eyes when I saw that tire close to my head. And the Lord gave me a vision. And the first thing that came up to my mind was, I'm going to die and I'm in sin. I didn't know God then. I'm going to die and I'm in sin. And then I thought about my wife and kids and the other one in the way. And so I closed my eyes and I saw this big guy, probably 9-10 feet tall, dressed in black. And he was telling me, you coming with me. And I cried out to God, you know. Jeremiah 33:3 says, you know, call upon me and I will answer you. I didn't know the Bible back then. But I cried out to God and I say, no, God, please. And when I cried out to God, you know, I saw this bright light coming up from heaven. And took the big tall guy out. I didn't see his face. It was all dressed in black. Now I know who that was. And, you know, and I know the bright light, you know. I know who was that, you know, too, now. But back then I didn't know anything. I didn't know the Bible. I grew up Catholic. Catholics, you know, we just go with what the preacher says, the priest says. And anyway, I don't know what happened there. But when I opened my eyes, the tractor was not on me no more. It was still running about 5 or 6 feet away from me. And I don't know if the tire went through my head or God sent angels and picked up the tractor and, you know, I don't know what happened there. But, you know, I never lose sense what's going on there because I got up, you know, like that. And I went and called on the phone and they took me to the hospital. And they did all kinds of tests on me, x-rays, everything. And the only thing that I got broke, 8,000 pounds over me. God is good. The only thing that I got broke, you know, was this dislocated bone over here. See? They wanted to fix it, and I say, nope, leave it alone. So every time I see the mirror, I will see what God did for me. And the doctor told me, you know, I had a big ball right here in my back. And the doctor told me, you know, if that thing explodes, you're going to be paralyzed. And I told him, you know what? I'm going to be okay. If God saved my life, he's going to heal me completely. And they told me, you know, you're not going to be able to work. You know, back in those days, I used to pump, you know. I was pretty strong. And the doctor told me that I wasn't going to be able to lift weights anymore. And I wasn't going to be working for at least 1 year. And I said, well, you know, if it's the will of God, I will, you know, take it. My wife had to give me showers because I couldn't do it. And, you know, that went for about 2 months. And, you know, with a lot of physical therapists and stuff. And they were telling me the same thing, you know. And every time they tell me that, you know, I say, you know, God, you saved my life. You're going to heal me. And, you know, 3 months later, I was working. 3 months later, I was lifting weights again. And then I heard the voice of God telling me, you know, prepare yourself because greater things are coming your way. And I say, you know, how? I don't even know the Bible. The only thing I know about the Bible is when I was listening to Jimmy Swagger preaching in the... How many of you remember Jimmy Swagger? He was preaching in the TV back then when he was very strong, you know. And one day he was in preaching in the TV and says, a young man watching me right now. And God is calling him. If you are watching me, put your hand in the TV. And I say, oh, that's me. So I went and put my hands in the TV and he led me to salvation. And then I started to go to Bible studies to some lady from Panama was doing. And then somebody invited me, you know, a friend of mine who was very heavy drug user invited me to church, to the Assembly of God, church in Hood River. And I told him, no, man, I don't want to have nothing to do with religion, man. I'm watching Jimmy Swagger on the TV. But he asked me so many times that I say, okay, let's go. So when I entered into that church, I felt something coming over me. I didn't even know nothing about the Holy Spirit or nothing. And I felt something coming over me, and I start crying and shaking. And I have all these ladies, and you know, praying for me in tongues. And I didn't even knew about tongues then. I was so scared, shaking. I didn't know if it was the Holy Spirit or that was the scary thing, you know, they were doing to me. So I was crying all service long, you know. Worship started, then I feel the presence of God very strong. And anyway, the service ended, and we went home. And in the way home, my friend told me, I wish I can cry like you. I said, believe me, I didn't want to cry. You know, God make you cry to clean you up and to brought you down. Sometimes you feel like you, you know, so strong that nobody can come and beat you up. But, you know, God had a way to bring you down. So anyway, we went home and I told my wife, you know, something weird happened to me in that church. I felt something that I never felt before. I was crying and doing this and doing that. And she says, I want to go. I said, no, I'm not going back. Those people are crazy. I said, those people are crazy. They were speaking in some other tongues that no, I'm not going back. Please take me. I say, okay, let's go. And the same thing happened to her. So, you know, we moved from Parkdale to the Dalles, and then we start going to where she went through. I didn't like the preacher over there. He was pretty slow, Pastor Norman Clear. I used to, you know, like the preacher from the Assembly of God. He was very enthusiastic, just kind of like Sabrina and Eddie, you know. A lot of power. And, you know, Pastor Norman was one of those preachers who say too much and didn't say nothing. But the anointing that was on him was so strong that he didn't even have to speak or anything. You know, just by being around him, you feel the power of God coming out of him. Demons were fleeing when he was around. Healings were happening. So my wife convinced me to go to Covenant Christian, the Dalles, that was back in 1991. And one day, 6 months into the church, I was worshiping the Lord. And I was asking God, give me a sign. And then I feel a hand in my back, and I opened my eyes, and it was Norman Clear. He says, Tony, you need to obey God. God is calling you to ministry. 6 months. God is calling you to ministry. I say, no. I didn't have any desire to be a minister, you know. And he says, well, you know, the only thing I can tell you is that the Lord sent me here to touch you and to let you know that even if you run, he's going to bring you in. Okay. And, you know, the Lord started working with me and my heart, and I got this burning desire to serve him. But I don't know how. So he came up to me again, Pastor Norman came up to me again and says, you know what? I'm going to mentor you. I'm going to teach you everything I know. Everything I know. He even paid for my Bible college. So he sent me to Bible college and paid for everything. And then he made me a leader in the church. I was the only Mexican guy there. And put me as a leader of the men there. And you know, everybody was just kind of see me like an alien, you know. But I say to myself, you know, I gotta break this spirit. And I start ministering them, you know. Pretty soon, you know, I start ministering in the Norcor jail and the jail facility. I did jail ministry for 20 years. And then I started the Spanish church in the Dallas in 2001, I think. 2001, and then in 2007, I started the Spanish church in Hood River, Covenant Christian. And we've been there since then. And now, you know, we are in Mexico. There I didn't have any plans over there. And you know God. It's, when God is calling you, you know he have a way to tell you. I went to Uganda, Africa, in a mission trip. And over there, he told me, what are you doing in here? You have people that you can minister in your own language. Over there, they have 17 languages in Uganda. The more they speak is Swahili, Swahili, or something like that. Anyway, and I come back to United States, and then in 2010, I went to India. I didn't listen to God to go to Mexico. I went to India. And I wanted to start preaching over there that I'm over the time. I wanted to start preaching over there, yeah. And the Lord spoke to me again. You need to go to Mexico. So when I got back from there, I went to Mexico. And I know I'm over the time, but I got to read a scripture here to finish up. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. This is what it says. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. And that's what I did. When I was under that tractor, I choose life. And I believe some of you need to choose life. God is calling you, some of you, to do ministry. To be a missionary or to spread the gospel around battleground, Vancouver, and you are resisting him. And let me tell you, you're going to be miserable if you're resisting him. So choose life over that and choose blessing over cursing. And I just want to thank you for listening to me. I don't know if my English was good or not, but who cares? You know, the African people come over here to the United States and they preach and they have a pretty high accent, more than me, so. Anyway, thank you. God bless you and thank you. Eh?
Amen. Thank you, Tony and Lupe. We appreciate both of you very much. And what an incredible testimony. Amen. So if you own a tractor, be careful. You could be in the ministry. We're going to have a closing prayer. And if the Lord has spoken to you through Tony's message and you want to talk to him, I'm sure he would be available. But if you have a little time, say hello to Tony and Lupe and pray for them. And if you'd like to help us bless them financially, we were a part of the ones that gave Landmark. I think we gave $500 toward the well that you saw, and would like to do something similar and increase that if we can to help them with the next project they have. So if you'd like to bless them today, or if you brought a tithe or an offering for the church, we have the offering receptacle here, one in the foyer. So I want to thank you for that. Or you can bring it next week or whenever. But if you'd like something to go to Tony and Lupe, just put Mexico on there, and we'll know where that is to go. But we appreciate these folks being a part of the organization and the work they're doing. And Chiapas, is it Chiapas? Yeah. And all right. All right, well, there's the invitation. If you'd like to go to Chiapas, see Tony and Lupe, and they'll work that out with you. But let's stand together and just thank the Lord for what he's done in their lives and what he can do in our lives as well. Father, thank you for the service today. It's been a delight to have everyone with us. Thank you for Tony and Lupe being with us and taking the time to share the slides and Paul putting that together and sharing their story. And what a marvelous story it is of how God can touch a life and preserve them and protect them, Lord, through the work they're doing. Father, your word says that some do the planting, some do the watering, but God gives the increase. And we thank you for Tony and Lupe watering, Lord, and planting and watering. We know that you will give the increase. Thank you that we've been able to be a small part of that and others as well. Thank you for the work that they've done in the Dalles and Hood River in the Spanish community there. May those churches continue to grow and prosper. And just as they eventually make the move to Chiapas to be there full-time, Lord, we pray that you should provide every need for them. And so we thank you, Lord. Help us go about our day with gratitude in our hearts for what God has spoken to us. And maybe, Lord, this morning you've spoken to someone here about ministry, about mission work, or about something they can do locally for the Lord. And just open up that way for them. And we'll give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's thank the Lord again for his word that's been spoken today. Amen. 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 Again, thank you, Tony and Lupe, for coming. God bless you all. Thanks for being with us. You're dismissed, and we'll see you, if not before, next Sunday.